hello again, everyone, and welcome to it, the Daily Caller podcast for the 8th day of August, Hitler Day. Yes, remember the audio from yesterday from MSNBC, Hitler Day, 8-8. Don't leave your house today. And if anybody, if you do, if you have to, if you can't get out of work or some family obligation, make sure that anybody who gives you a knowing look like, hey, we know what's going on, run away from them. I've been watching too much MSNBC lately. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. So much to get to. We've got some Morning Joe insanity. Joaquin Castro trying to defend sending out a list of donors to Donald Trump and their professions where they work to basically create a hit list. And on Morning Joe, Mika was down with it. Mika said, hey, this is what you get. But Willie Geist dared ask some basic, simple questions. And then he realized he was going to catch hell and had to backpedal a little bit. The audio is kind of funny. We have it for you. By we, I mean me and the cat Veruca sitting right next to me, kneading away. Can you purr into the mic, Veruca? I don't know if that came through or not, but there she is. She's going to town. Just when the cat needs, man, they're really into it. We also have Trish Regan of the Fox Business Channel. I guess I've never really watched her show before. And I know I've never really watched her show before. I've only seen her do updates. She's on board with gun control, and it's very disturbing as to why. Polls. And it's, of course, an emotional argument. She goes all in for the liberal agenda. I have the audio, and I will play it for you. Plus, oh, you know, you think that yesterday's show couldn't get any more comic. The news couldn't get any more comedic after yesterday's show. There, I formulated the sentence properly. Michael Moore says he's quitting SoulCycle. Yes, of course he is. That's you can tell with a looking like that. Is there any doubt that he spends nothing but all his time in the gym? We have the reason why and so much more. It's an action-packed show for you on this Thursday, and I will announce that Friday will be the interview, provided it didn't get lost somehow. It better not have gotten lost, because it was a good interview with Liz Wheeler from One America News Network. She's got a new book out, Tipping Points. We talk about that. Recorded it last Friday. Then you'll actually get to find out who won the signed Molly Hemingway, Carrie Severino books. So you gotta listen tomorrow, or else you'll just have to find out another way. And just listen tomorrow anyway. But first, I gotta tell you about our great sponsor. I love these guys. Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea. It is a game changer. I've been drinking Life Change Tea now about a week and a half. And I wake up in the morning, I just feel better all day long. I have more energy. I can't tell you how much more energy I have, but I'm moving around. I'm chasing the cats. I'm chasing the kids. I'm even trying to catch a stray cat in the backyard to get it to the vet, see if it's okay, and then probably adopt it, which we probably don't need, but we're going to do it anyway. So how does Life Change Tea work? Well, it's a proprietary herbal formula, a daily gentle cleanse designed to rid your body of harmful intruders. Wink, wink. We know what that is. You know what's built up in your body over time? Doesn't matter what you eat. It's in there. This gets it out. And let's face it, our food was different. You know, that coating, it stops your body from being able to absorb all the good stuff that you do eat. Our food was different 60 years ago. It was packed with nutrients. It wasn't processed. It wasn't coated in pesticides. It was good for you. Today, not so much. Really, not so much. GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, heavy processing have depleted the nutrition in our foods. And it's no wonder you feel run down. I used to feel run down. Try it for yourself, all right? Go to getthetea.com, GETTHETEA, getthetea.com, all one word, and get ready for more energy. I drink it every day. You brew like a gallon of it at a time. It's iced tea. You put it in the fridge. You just use as directed. You don't want to drink too much every day. That tea that you get in your first order, you think, wow, that's better be some tea. It is, and it lasts. Trust me on this. Give it a shot. And at checkout, when you use the promo code Derek, my name, It's very convenient that they made it my name, because it'd be weird if it were somebody else's name. But use the promo code Derek, you get free shipping. You can't beat that. Life Change Tea is not available in stores. Go to getthetea.com. That is getthetea.com and get the tea. And don't forget promo code Derek to get free shipping. Okay. Got, like I said, a lot of stuff to get to. Joaquin Castro. Remember Joaquin Castro? Yesterday we had him on there. He had tweeted out a list of Trump donors. He's a member of Congress. He's the brother of Julian Castro. They are children of a very radical leftist activist out in San Antonio. They always say, we're raised by a single mother. You were raised by a whack job. He tweeted out this list of people who had maxed out in his district to Donald Trump's presidential reelection campaign, being all edgy, saying things like, these are the people who are funding hate. In it, throughout it, it's wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean, say no more, essentially putting people on notice. We will make your life hell unless you correct your course. Not really correct your course in the general sense that that phrase is understood. It's more, you better stop supporting Donald Trump or we're coming after you like a rabid spider monkey. You better stop thinking differently. You better pony up to me and people like me. You better get right with God. And of course, God is government to the left. Well, turns out, good old Joaquin, yeah, you can find, these are public records, you have to search for them, you have to sift through a lot of things and know where to go to find it. Well, he had somebody sift through all these public records of donations to Donald Trump's reelection campaign and find these donors. They didn't think to do any cross-reference. That's kind of important. They didn't bother to look at who else they might have donated to. These people that they were putting on notice, if you will. Because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to put people on notice. You better get back in your hole. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your money to yourself. Watch yourself. We're coming after you. Well, it turns out that at least two of the people that Joaquin put out on his little hit list there are donors to his campaign as well and have been donors to him in the past. I swear to God, this is, if Saturday Night Live were honest, if Saturday Night Live were interested in going for the joke rather than going for the cheap political points, and Saturday Night Live were on now, they would have a field day with this. But neither one of those things are true at the moment, so Joaquin Castro is safe. The Washington Free Beacon reports, Texas Democratic Congressman Joaquin Castro published a list of Trump donors in his hometown of San Antonio, also included at least two people who have contributed to him. Castro Monday published the names and employers of 44 people who've contributed to Trump, accusing them of, quote, fueling a campaign of hate against the Hispanic community with their contributions. Two of the named donors in the past contributed substantial sums to Castro's political campaigns. One of the donors is William Greeley, a San Antonio energy executive, who contributed at least $10,000 to Castro during his first two campaigns in 2011 and 2013, according to Federal Election Commission's records. Isn't that nice? This is why liberals can't. Like Bill Maher said the other day on Friday, all they had to do is act sane for a little while. Show people that they're capable of acting sane, and people would give them a chance. They're incapable of acting sane. They do this crazy thing. When you're sitting there, see, this is how reality diverges from political reality, how reality diverges from cable news. Joaquin Castro lives in the Democratic Congress bubble. It's he's always wearing the team's uniform. He's always thinking about the team. There's something to be said about that. Although when you pass yourself off as caring about the American people, it gets a little sketchy and shady and a little less believable, but still, I'm straying. inside that world operates cable news. You've got CNN and MSNBC inside that bubble. If that's the only place you stray, if that is your entire world, there are no honest brokers in that world. Your Democratic colleagues in the House of Representatives and their staffs are all on board with the team. Anybody who dares suggest that maybe they compromise, maybe they work together with Republicans, or that maybe Republicans have some kind of valid point on a certain issue, any issue, it doesn't really matter. You have the Gang of Four, the purity police that make the Sharia cops in Saudi Arabia look like a fun-loving gang of people who just want to spend the weekend at the beach. They will primary you. The Democratic Socialists of America and all the armies that they have put members of Congress on notice. If you are not sufficiently progressive, and if you are not sufficiently anti-Trump and anti-Republican, we will come after you. So you don't get a lot of dissent. You don't get a lot of second opinions. You don't get a lot of questioning over there in the Democratic Party. Then you go on MSNBC or CNN, and there is none. There is absolutely none. And in fact, they are deputies in the purity police. They will call out, disparage, attack, smear, whatever, any Democrat who isn't to their standards of being anti-Trump and anti-Republican. Well, Joaquin Castro doesn't have to worry about such things. He is a good team player, like I said. He's got the uniform on. He's got the donkey tramp stamp, I'm guessing, there. But would anybody really be surprised? So he hasn't lived in a world or existed in a world where there are people who, depending on the issue, could go on either side of the aisle. There are moderates in this world. There are some people who say, you know what, I like what the president is doing on trade, but I like what the Democrats are doing on health care. Not many, but there are some. Actually, in a nation of 330 million people, there are probably quite a few. Plus, there are just some people who, if you're a small business owner and you're in a district, you know that you've got to, if the government comes after you, having a member of Congress with whom you're familiar is a good thing. Having an established relationship with a member of Congress is good, because when you say, hey, wait a second, these regulators are trying to shut me down over this obscure thing and their interpretation of this weird regulation, and they want to fine me $20,000 a day, you will probably have to hire a lawyer. But your lawyer won't have to work as many hours if you can also call up your member of Congress and they can put staff on it. It's called constituent relations. In theory, they do it for everybody they represent. In practice, they work a little harder for some than others. But there are people out there, Republicans who live in a Democratic district, who recognize that, hey, you know what, if the city wants to come after me, having a congressman call up the mayor probably isn't a bad thing. So I'm going to cut him a check, too. Then there are just some people who don't really have any set principles across the board and fall into both categories and think, I like this one and I like that one. They're in different parties, but what are you going to do? So it didn't occur to Castro or his staff to go, before we send out this list of names, we should probably see, because, you know, there's a small universe of Americans who give the maximum to presidential, to politicians, period. So you might want to just check. You just want to cross-reference. It's your own records. And even if you didn't want to go through your old records, maybe they're on paper, they're on floppy disks, and you have no way to read them anymore, you could use the same websites that you used to compile the list to check the list and see if maybe that person had given anything to you. And actually, the way the website works is you click on the person's name, and there's a complete list of all the donations they've given. So you don't even have to really look all that hard. It's just a click away. Castro didn't do that. Castro couldn't be bothered to do that. His team and he had this idea in their head that we've got him. This is going to be gold. We are going to get so much publicity. Everything is going, what could possibly go wrong? So they just sent out the list. He eventually deleted it after spending all day yesterday trying to defend it. He decided that it wasn't worth the hassle. And this morning, or yesterday morning, he went on Morning Joe. Now, it doesn't get more friendly than Morning Joe. Keep in mind that what the Castro campaign did received scorn not only from conservatives, but from many, not all, not even most, but many on the left, including reporters for the New York Times. So he knew that he was in the wrong. You don't delete something if you're really, I'm standing my ground, but I'll delete it. But I'm going to stand by my decision while I delete this to not delete this. So Castro goes on there, and the first clip we have here is Mika. Mika wakes up riled up. Mika is an ugly person on the inside. I don't care how much work she has done on the outside. On the inside, she is just gross. And she is getting grosser every single day, just along with Joe. Mika thinks this is perfectly fine. And this is what you get if you support a political opponent of Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. Five marriages between them. That's just the price you pay for thinking differently over on MSNBC. And Castro's answer is kind of right along with that. He thinks this is going to be this way throughout the whole interview. Listen to Mika and Joaquin.
Well, I just actually am doing some math here, and I'd love to hear the congressman sort of give his point of view on this. But, the conversation out there about, you know, where this is all coming from and who's creating the danger seems kind of ridiculous. You're not releasing any new information or revealing any secrets. You are literally framing what is already public information. And wouldn't you want more people to know who is funding which presidential campaign? And if you're proud of funding President Trump, you need to understand that that will be public information. And all you're doing is trying to explain what it is in terms of the policies or the morals that you are funding. And so in a world where we have talk show hosts that want to say that white supremacy doesn't exist, it's not a problem, you have a president that spews hate speech, okay? And the question I guess I have for your critics is who's creating the danger? Because I would think that African Americans are in danger. I would think that immigrants are in danger. I would think Latinos are in danger. And that's the danger we should be talking about. That's my question.
That's right. That's my question. I love it. She's got Castro on there and she says, so my question for your critics is, you're interviewing this guy. Do you have no question for him? You drugged out hag? You got nothing for him? Go have more plastic surgery, Mika. Go take the other half of the Prozac. The question I have for your critics is, well, let me answer for my critics and tell them that they all admit that they're wrong. This is what passes for journalism over at MSNBC. You can hear that long rant. I'll tell you who should be afraid. Not the people that you put a giant target on the back of, but the black people and Hispanic people and gay people and trans women of color and short people and exceedingly tall people and whatever. What planet do you live on, Mika? What's going on in your head? Did you ride your unicorn to work today? Well, I can't believe nobody at MSNBC goes, we're damaging the brand of NBC News on a daily basis. This can't be good long term. Nobody says that. They just say, yes, keep going. You tell the truth, sister. Here is, and I know there wasn't really a question in there, at least one for the guest that they're supposed to be interviewing, but they gave Joaquin Castro the opportunity to answer, if you can call it that, anyway.
That's my question.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I made the point that their money is going to fuel these ads, and that's creating a danger. It's inciting hate towards a community, and so that's creating a danger for millions of people. And we saw an instance where there's a cost to that. In El Paso, the terrorist, the shooter, basically mimics a lot of the language that President Trump himself has used and that's consistent with those Facebook ads. So, you know, giving money to Donald Trump at this point is, it should not be considered just the cost of doing business or, I'm a Republican in good standing, so I want to support the president. You're giving money for somebody that's going after a community, and people have gotten killed because of that.
And people have gotten killed because of that. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. There's as much evidence of that as there is that the Dayton shooter, who will now be memory hold since the president went to Dayton yesterday, so they don't have to talk about Dayton anymore, that the Dayton shooter was inspired by progressive politics because he was a fan of progressive politics, a fan of Antifa, a fan of Bernie Sanders, a fan of Elizabeth Warren, and probably a fan of Joaquin Castro. This is what caused me to go off on the rant yesterday when I'm sitting there talking about conservatives going, we've got the high road. We must be better than them. I don't know what's wrong with conservatives who say, we could say this, but we would never do that. That is beneath us. Marcus of Queensbury rules. Mark, keep it above the belt, sir. Democrats don't play that game. Just because Michelle Obama got a whole audience full of barking seals to applaud every time she said, when they go low, we go high. She left out with a baseball bat. And we're supposed to go, well, no. We are the ones of the high road. Well, to hell with that. Take it to these people, because they are going to take it to you, no matter what you do. All these people did was donate to a politician they agree with, and they are now targets for harassment, for God knows what else. A lot of them were retired, sitting at home. Can you imagine if these mutant mobs show up at their houses? What are they going to do? Many of them have jobs. By the way, the barbecue place that he named has given out scholarships to a lot of minority kids who work at their barbecue joint. Joaquin Castro doesn't know this. Joaquin Castro doesn't care about this. It's all about cheap and immediate political points. It's disgusting. And Mika cheerleading him, agreeing with him, going, yes, that's what you get when you donate to somebody that I don't like and I don't want to hear it, is just as disgusting. Then along comes Willie Geist. Willie Geist actually did a little bit of journalism. Now, journalists are supposed to be skeptical of every politician that they cover. They're supposed to ask the tough questions. Remember that they pat themselves on the back constantly going, we speak truth to power. We speak truth to power. We're such champions. We speak truth to power. They don't speak truth to power. They speak the truth of the powerful. They protect the embedded elite political class. Used to be of both parties, although certainly more Democrats than Republicans, but now they've gone full bore. They've gone absolutely full bore in bed with the Democrats. And you're going to need a big supply of penicillin for that. But then Mika's married to Joe. Never mind. Anyway, Willie Geist actually pushes Joaquin Castro, because Willie Geist is not a complete and total hack. He's also a human being, and occasionally he does decent work. He pushes Castro on this. It's a bizarre exchange because it's clear that Castro is not prepared for this.
Congressman, it's Willie Geist. It's good to see you this morning. So what is the objective here? What do you hope will happen to the 44 private citizens whose names you posted? Do you want people to boycott their companies, protest outside their homes? What's the goal here?
No, that was never my goal. Like I said, my post was actually, as a San Antonian, my family has been here since 1922. Mm-hmm. It was a lament. So it wasn't meant as a boycott. It wasn't meant to target these people. It was meant to draw attention to the fact that we've got a lot of people in our community who are respected by San Antonio, who are contributing to this guy that's using their money to fuel hate. And so what I hope is that this has started a conversation about what exactly Donald Trump is doing with these people's money. And I hope that these donors in San Antonio and donors throughout the country, unless you support the white nationalism and the racism that Donald Trump is paying for and fueling, then I hope that you, as a person of good conscience, will think twice about contributing to his campaign.
No, that wasn't my goal. I just wanted the people of San Antonio, because some of these people are respected. I wanted the people of San Antonio to know that they have monsters in their midst. But I want them to leave those monsters alone. I wouldn't definitely want them to do a quick internet search to find out these people's addresses. That never even occurred to me. BS. Flat out BS. If he'd have said, you know what, I didn't think it through. I didn't really think this through, and that was, you know, a mistake on my part. That would have been believable. But you know they thought it through. You know they sat around in the strategy meeting and giggled, going, old man McGillicuddy or whoever is really going to catch hell from his neighbors. That barbecue joint is going to see a drop in sales, I hope. Let's hurt these bastards. How dare they give money to Trump? I know, that was not my intention at all. I just wanted to educate the public on the fact that if they were in the mood to burn somebody's house down as they slept, that they might, you know, just if they wanted to just burn anybody's house down, they might want to consider burning the houses of somebody on this list. That was all. It was of the purest of intentions. Now, the question from Willie Geist was good. It put Castro on the spot, and you can tell that he didn't really have a pat answer. He rambled on until he thought that he had done satisfactorily, at least in the ecosphere of MSNBC. To his credit, Willie Geist comes back, and this exchange is shockingly good.
But Congressman, as you look at this list, I know you said you didn't put their addresses out there. It's easy to find them. These people undoubtedly are already being harassed online or perhaps face-to-face in some cases. They could be. What do you say to those people this morning who said, I made a campaign donation and now I'm going to be harassed? I'm going to have people protesting outside my business or perhaps even my home. What do you say to them? Do you want them to repent for their support for Donald Trump, or what do you want from them?
Well, the first thing is that I don't want anybody harassed or targeted.
But they will be because you put their names on in public.
Look, that was not my intention.
But that's what will happen.
I don't want anybody harassed. And Willie says, but that's what will happen. We just spent a week being lectured, actually more than a week. It was spent really 3 years. Words have consequences, except when spoken by liberals. Words have consequences. We just spent a week being told that Donald Trump's words back in April, his use of the word invasion back in April, caused this guy in San Antonio to go and kill a bunch of people at a Walmart. Words matter. And you have to be careful with your words. And here is the network that has been preaching that nonstop since last Saturday. And here's a member of Congress saying, well, no, I didn't mean that. And Willie Geist is calling him out on it. Said, well, it doesn't matter what your intention is. If we, you know, Donald Trump's intention, they've ascribed intention to Donald Trump. Donald Trump was trying to inspire hate, as Mika said. He wants more mass shootings. That's what he wants. That he wanted to inspire more of these things, these horrible attacks. That's what he wants. So for Joaquin Castro, no, that's not what, this is public record and anybody could go find it. Yeah, how many people know that you can go and find this? How many people know that you can look these things up? Not many. Not many. It doesn't occur to many people to go, you know what, I'm going to go find some SOB Trump donors and man, I am going to just torment the hell out of them. Most people don't think that way. But when you set the ball on the tee, a lot of people will hit it. That's what Joaquin Castro did. Now, Willie Geist gave him crap, and he didn't have a good answer. I didn't mean that. That's not what my intention was. Your intention doesn't matter. The Democrats and the media who were saying for 6 months that the Republican health care plan, should they be able to repeal and replace Obamacare, would kill tens of thousands of people per year, they just wanted to scare the hell out of people. Well, James Hodgkinson took it literally and tried to go and kill Republicans, because if you believe you can stop the wanton murder of tens of thousands of people per year and you're insane, you kind of have to do that. We're all told to watch our language after everything that happens that can be tangentially, though usually temporarily, attached to something center-right. And the center-left, nothing. They just ignore it. They just move on. So that's why Joaquin Castro is ill-prepared for this. Now, Castro's answer goes on for a little bit, and then Willie realizes, remembers, who signs the front of his checks. He signs the back of his checks, and he's an employee of MSNBC. And to maintain the status of employee at MSNBC, you can't go down this yellow brick road. You cannot point out the hypocrisy of a Democrat. It is not allowed. Plus, you'll hear in this, so Willie kind of tries to walk it back and say, well, nobody, I mean, I'm on record, this whole network, this whole show, 3 hours a day, we do nothing but bitch about Trump and how evil he is, trying to reestablish his bona fides with his bosses, likely. And you can kind of hear before he fully goes in on that, because when you're on television, you have TV little monitors around, and especially when Joe and Mika are down in Florida dodging taxes, you've got them on these monitors. I guarantee you, just because you can see them doesn't mean that the audience can. I guarantee you that they were both, Joe and Mika, were about to blow a gasket, rolling their eyes, disgusted what Willie Geist was doing. Disgusted at what Willie Geist was doing. So he has to jump in and correct the record. And you can kind of hear Joe and Mika kind of go, well, no, trying to interrupt and trying to defend Joaquin Castro, because he can't defend himself because what he did was indefensible. Listen to the rest of the clip.
These things are public. No, what I would like for them to do is think twice about supporting a guy who is fueling hate in this country.
And do you agree? Congressman, do you agree that in this culture, and believe me, I'm making no equivalency to what Donald Trump's doing. We're on the record on this show 3 hours a morning about the ads that they're putting up, about the rhetoric he uses. But if you agree that rhetoric can lead to incitement, even if it just triggers one person to do something terrible, does it give you any pause about putting these people's names out in public?
Well, Willie, they're already public. They're already out there.
There are 11 retirees and one homemaker who are not public.
Right. And this was already circulating. I shared it, so I didn't create the graphic. No, I think, if anything, I think what I am concerned about is the distraction from the fact that people are grieving in El Paso, that these folks just got killed, and there are funerals that are being planned right now, and the world and the country should be focused on that and on the country coming together and the country unifying. So I'm concerned about all of that. I don't want anybody on the left or the right to be a target of any crazy person, of any person who means them harm at all.
But if they do want to, inflict harm on anybody and they're of the left, there's a nice list of 44 people they might want to go after. I mean, you heard Joe and Mika get exasperated, like, and they started to interrupt, but Willie held his ground and then he realized, oh, crap. I've got to qualify this. Look, nobody's been more anti-Trump than me, man. We're on record here 3 hours a day of doing nothing but bitching and lying about the president. So I hate him too, and I wish him ill. But what you did was really crappy. You put out a list of people who are supporting Donald Trump and said in the tweet that they are fueling and funding hate. And Castro's defense was, I didn't put the list together. I didn't do that. The information's public anyway. There's a lot of information that's public anyway. People don't know how to find it, and you just gave it to them. And how many people, look, if you're following Julian Castro on Twitter, you're, in my book, unstable to begin with. So it's not a far stretch to think that bad things could easily happen under those circumstances. But no, I don't want any harm to come to anybody. I want the country to come together and acknowledge that half the country is nothing but a bunch of white supremacists, a bunch of neo-Nazis, a bunch of hate mongers who want to kill black and brown people. And if we can all come together on hating half the country, again, he probably wasn't very good at math. It's unbelievable. This interview is so telling. Is every once in a while, a liberal journalist does some accidental journalism. In Willie's case, I don't know that it was accidental, because this is pretty egregious. There were plenty of liberals who were like, this isn't cool, dude. What are you doing? Mostly they were upset because this upsets the narrative. If somebody does go after one of these 44 people, if some harm does come to these people, or they're terrorized by people screaming at their houses all throughout the night, that's going to upset the narrative that it's Donald Trump who's inciting hate. Even the pushback that they would try to use, which is the only thing they could try to use, is that, well, you know, it's they deserve it, is not very successful. The narrative that the liberal media is painting is it's right-wingers, those white supremacist Republicans, they're the problem in this country. That's why they ignore Antifa beating the crap out of people every weekend in Portland, Oregon, because that goes against the narrative. It doesn't matter how many people get brain hemorrhages because they've been clocked upside the head by bricks. Doesn't matter. As long as they don't kill them, they might have to report on it if they kill them. And then they'll have, you know, the guy on at 1:30 on a weekday when their ratings are the lowest. And then they can say, well, we covered it. Meanwhile, their primetime lineup says Antifa is just a group of people trying to better the country. What a sick, sick show and a sick group of people. God, they should not be anywhere near the levers of power. I did notice that once Joaquin became a little bit flustered. In the first clip, he said El Paso. Once he got a little bit flustered, once he realized that maybe he'd stepped into a giant pile of horse manure, he got a little ethnic there. He said, what should be important is that people in El Paso. It was just El Paso. What happened? El Paso. Suddenly you turn into a local news anchor. Anyway, I thought that was interesting and telling, and the terror in Willie Geist, too, was kind of, look, and nobody's more anti-Trump than me. Please, Mika, I'm so glad Mika and Joe are in Florida dodging taxes, because somebody would have thrown a coffee mug at me. But they'll still make a phone call to the boss, and I'll get a good talking to, so I got to have the groundwork for a good defensive. But I still condemned Donald Trump, so he threw that out there. It's something to behold. You'd think somebody, one person in management at MSNBC would go, we're really, really damaging our brand. We're really, really trying to incite something. We're trying to get somebody to take a shot at the president or go after some of the president's supporters, which people do all the time. If you wear a MAGA hat out on the street of a major city in this country, there's a good chance that somebody is going to come up to you and at least scream at you. And in many cases, do much worse. But that, again, doesn't fit the narrative. And as long as there's no dead body, there's no reason to report on it. The left is sick. Sick, sick, sick. All right, so then you smash cut over to Fox Business Channel. Fox Business is out there, and they have a host called Trish Regan. I've only ever seen her, I think, mostly on Special Report, because that's really the only thing I watch with any regularity anymore on Fox, where she does the business updates, because she's an anchor on Fox Business. But Fox Business does a lot more than business. Most of their shows that I've heard of, or at least seen clips of, or guest lists of on Twitter, are not filled with people trying to give you the latest business news. It's Fox Jr., Fox News Jr. Trish Regan seems to be wanting to audition for CNN Jr. or MSNBC Jr. Why a business program would go off on a monologue about gun control and healthcare and everything, this and that and the other thing, is beyond me. But she did. Her cadence here is very weird. Like I said, I've only ever seen her do reports on what's happening in the business world, and she seems to talk with a little bit of energy, a little bit of pep in her step. She could use some of the cleanse tea. That would be good for her, because she definitely needs some pep in her step. She does not have it. I should maybe get her to send some life change tea or something, or maybe send her the link. But she does this monologue, and you would not know that she wasn't on CNN or MSNBC. It's disturbing for her rationale. She's free to think whatever she wants. Her rationale belies a dangerous ignorance that is prevalent on the left. I'll explain after we listen to it.
President Trump playing the role of consoler-in-chief there during today's visits to El Paso and to Dayton, meeting with survivors, victims' families, and first responders after two mass shootings this weekend took the lives of at least 31 people. All of this as momentum builds around so-called red flag gun laws that allow courts to intervene and temporarily remove guns from people who pose an imminent danger to themselves or to others. The president says he's working on it. Watch him here, just moments ago, actually, in El Paso, Texas.
Let's see if we can get something done. And Republicans want to do it and Democrats want to do it.
Yeah, they do. Maybe. I don't know about that. Because here's the problem. This president has an absolutely inept Congress. It's very clear Congress is repeatedly failing us, whether it be on immigration, whether it be on trade, whether it be on health care, or whether it be on guns. You take your pick. Congress isn't fighting for their constituents. These people, these politicians, they're not fighting for you and me. They're fighting for lobbying money, whether it be money from big corporations that want to be in the Chinese marketplace, whether it be Big Pharma that wants higher drug prices, or whether it be the NRA and gun companies that want to convince you that a ban on assault weapons or having more vigilant background checks would mean you would be stripped of your Second Amendment right. Not true. Americans would still have the right to keep and bear arms in their homes to protect themselves. One qualifier I'll just mention here, better background checks. They may not do a thing to stem these mass killings. If you're that filled with hate, there are plenty of ways to do damage that don't involve guns. Without a doubt, we need a better system to identify mental health problems. This is a multi-pronged approach, but common sense tells you if someone has a kill list, they shouldn't have access to a gun, should they? In poll after poll after poll, the vast majority of Americans, they say we need better background checks. So why the heck don't we have them? America has moved on this issue. You know that? Look at that number right there. America has moved on this issue.
America has moved on this issue. Polling data. Congratulations. These polls are always conducted in the immediate aftermath of a tragedy. And people answer based on emotion. That's where liberals live, based on emotion. Emotional people are easily manipulated. Look at the Third Reich. Well, there's a couple of things here. First of all, someone with a kill list, they should never. Somebody's got a kill list. Yeah, he had a kill list when he was in high school. Disturbing, disgusting. But you know what the law forbids? Juvenile records being used against adults. So it's not gun control. It's not the gun lobby. It's your liberal friends there, Trish, who said, well, just because somebody did something awful when they were 16 years old doesn't mean that should trail them around forever. Criminal records of children are sealed. All records of children are sealed until they're dead. So what do you want to do? Do you want to make all high school students' records accessible to authorities and the media and maybe subject to Freedom of Information Act requests? Is that what you want, Trish? Then just come out and say it. There might be a good rationale for that, an exception of, if you know what, if somebody's got a rape or kill list, we should know about that. If they're 15, 16 at the time, maybe we should have a chat with them every once in a while. Maybe we should keep an eye on them. But that's not what she's saying. She's saying, well, an extended background check will find that. No, it won't. No, it won't. It won't. You can't use that against people. But she doesn't know that, or she doesn't care. I suspect she doesn't know that. And then she goes on and on, citing the lobby. We'll do the polls in a second. The lobbyists. All these lobbyists. Big Pharma wants more money for their prescription drugs. Business, big greedy corporations want, you're on a business network. big greedy corporations want deals with China. Yeah, what do you do for a living? Do you not pay attention to the things you read off the teleprompter? That's the job of business. No business is started by people who go, you know what, I want to spend a lot of money and employ people. If we happen to make money, I'm fine with that. But otherwise, I'm cool with losing money. That's no big deal. As long as we get to employ some people. No, that's not how businesses work. Unless, of course, you're a pseudo nonprofit magazine in Washington, D.C. The Weekly Standard ran on that business model. Their business model was to lose $1 million a year. That was their business model. They had a sugar daddy billionaire who was willing to go, you know what, $1 million a year is worth it. Go ahead and run it. And then he got sick of losing $1 million a year. And he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And all these pseudo-conservatives said, well, this is an outrage. We can't lose the Weekly Standard. Well, we've lost the Weekly Standard. I think it's been over a year. We're still here. We're still alive. The world is still spinning. Life goes on without the Weekly Standard. There are other magazines that are coming out, that have come out, websites that are designed to never make money. Literally to never make money. They just have a business model to lose a certain amount of money per year. And as long as they only lose that certain amount of money per year, they're good. They're cool. But in the real business world, outside of places where people have piles of money thanks to government, that doesn't exist. So yeah, they're going to want to have an interest and a say in what goes on in our relationship and trade with China. That's smart. And also, by the way, I love how the left and these journalists and pseudo-journalists wrap themselves in the First Amendment while wiping themselves with the Second Amendment. Well, the First Amendment, they always talk about, well, freedom of the press. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of the press. There's a little bit more to the First Amendment than just freedom of the press. It just so happens that that's the only part of the First Amendment that the press actually cares about. They're not super fans of freedom of religion, as evidenced by all of the gay wedding cake cases and how they're reported. They're not a fan of the free speech part of the First Amendment, freedom of the press. They're down with free speech, not so much, because so many people say things they don't like. And that's just a problem for the left. And they're also not a fan of the part that allows the people to petition their government for redress of grievances. That right there is where lobbying comes in. If you have a problem with what government is doing, or you want to have a say in what government is doing, but you're not an elected official, you are empowered. Your right to do so is protected by the First Amendment. It's pretty unequivocal. So to sit there and whine and complain, oh, we can't cut drug prices because those evil drug corporations are talking to members of Congress and pointing out that if you cut their profits, they won't be able to do research and development. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Welcome to the party, pal. Here's a better idea, Trish Regan. Get the government out of business. Have the government do what it is supposed to do, the enumerated powers that it has in the Constitution. Cut, slash, gut government spending. Return that money to the people who earned it. And if states want to tax the hell out of people, they're free to do it and do all those things that government used to do, that the federal government used to do. They can do it on a more localized scale, a smaller scale, and they won't have $100 billion budgets where a couple of million here and maybe a billion there just disappears. Nobody knows where it is. Well, what are you going to do? Anybody could lose $1 billion. But no, it doesn't occur to them. The federal government is the answer to everything, including questions nobody asked. That's how the liberal mind works. And for her to sit there at the end and talk about the polls. See, I didn't forget about the polls. I'm actually impressed I didn't forget about the polls, because usually I forget about half this stuff. When she goes, the American people have spoken. They want X, Y, and Z. They want these guns banned. They want this banned. They want this passed. They want this, that, and the other thing. The government, A, does not grant rights, because if a government does grant rights, then the government can repeal those rights. Then you don't actually have rights at all. You have special things that the government allows you to have. Our Constitution is not written that way. Our Constitution is written that you are born with rights and the government can't mess with them. That's why the Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Not that the right of the people to keep and bear arms is hereby granted. And same, Congress shall make no law in their beloved First Amendment. Congress shall make no law abridging, blah, blah, blah. Congress shall make no law. Well, if Congress can make no law abridging the freedom of speech, religion, assembly, so on and so forth, then that means that people already have that right. Since the government, the Bill of Rights, is not granting people that right, they have to have that right from somewhere. And our system of government, in our system of government, that right comes from birth. That right comes from God, even though it is not explicitly said. You don't have to believe in God. All you have to do is be born, and you have that right protected by our Constitution, supposed to be protected by our government. And Trish Regan, our rights are not dependent upon polls, thank God. If they were, they wouldn't be rights. Because I guarantee you, as more millennials grow up and as more of them are indoctrinated in colleges, and you see the polls of college students now that they say hate speech should be not be free speech. Hate speech should be regulated. Well, hate speech, unpopular speech, nasty speech is the only speech that needs protection. If you're only saying popular things, nobody's going to try and shut you up. Nobody would have a problem with it. But if you're in a liberal city and you happen to be a conservative and you are speaking out against their beloved, sacred liberal policies, there will be liberals who stand up and accuse you of hate speech. If you say support a strong border where people are forced to come through the doors and not the windows, you could be accused of hate speech and are on a daily basis. If hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment, if the grant of free speech comes from the government and you're not born with it, well, then you can be shut up. You don't actually have freedom of speech. You have permission of speech, and permission only to speak of popular things in popular accepted ways of the powers that be. Now, the left loves this idea. They really do. Because they operate under the idea that they are soon to be a perpetual party of power. They believe that they will seize power in this country permanently. We've seen this since the election of Barack Obama. We've been told, look, actually since the election of 2006, if you go back and look at newspaper stories, I compiled this when I was working at Americans for Tax Reform. After the 2006 elections, when Democrats took the House and Senate, there were editorials and op-eds and news stories written across the liberal media about how Republicans are done. It's over. They're going to have to regroup and really rethink. They're going to have to move toward the center, if not toward the left. They are a regional party, because after 2006, the Republican Party was pretty decimated. We were told then by the intelligentsia in New York and Washington and Los Angeles that Republicans were essentially a party of the South. A few rural areas in flyover country, but that's it. They're a regional party at best, and they're really going to have to change things. Stop believing in that freedom stuff and go some different direction. And the loss of John McCain in 2008 to Barack Obama only solidified that belief. And there were another string of op-eds and editorials about how the Republican Party is pretty much dead. It is over. Regional party. Then 2010 happened, and suddenly Republicans swept into control of the House. And all those op-eds stopped, and everybody who wrote them pretended they didn't write them. Then in 2014, Republicans took the Senate, and everybody who had written those op-eds was still busy pretending they didn't write them. things change. You think you're always going to be in power because you believe in the crap you're swilling. I have no doubt that liberals believe they can make the world a better place. I just happen to know history where their ideas make things much, much worse, and they end up freaking out and imprisoning the population, and bad things happen. There's 100 million dead in the last century to testify to that. So forgive me, Trish, if your "the American people want it" argument doesn't really do it for me. I don't care what the American people want. I'm not going to go, all right, well, then you can have my rights. Go ahead. What if the American people want to ban certain words, ban certain speech? Because that will come. That's what a large swath of the left wants. There are anywhere between 170 and 300,000 words in the English language, depending upon which dictionary you look up the word count of. Do we really need all that many words? Some of those words can be offensive, and you don't want to offend anybody. Offending people is wrong. Offending people is hate speech. It's not, but that's what's called hate speech these days. So why not ban certain words? It'd just be a small fine. You even get one use of the word with a warning before somebody gets fined. But if a serial abuser of words that are no longer socially acceptable because they're so offensive, they're going to have to pay some kind of price for that. It's the only way to make them learn. And you never, nobody ever just leapfrogs to an abusive, all-powerful government unless there's absolute catastrophe and people are desperate and they clamor for things. The way that the left in this country has been working is a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time with emotional arguments of, can't we just do a little bit of this? Can't we just do a little bit of that? Can't we do some things? Isn't this just sensible, as they like to say about their gun laws? There might be a way to do it. There should be a way to keep people who have kill lists in high school from getting guns. But that way is not inflicting harm on everybody's right throughout the country. Your rights, my rights, should not be infringed upon simply because somebody else did something horrible. We are not a culture of collective guilt, even though the left is trying to make it this way. If you're white, you're probably a white nationalist, a white supremacist. You're likely a monster. So if you, especially if you support Trump, you're a monster. That's not how our society functions. And thank God our rights are not dependent upon polls. You get 90%. We are not a pure democracy by design, because pure democracies turn into mobocracies. Demagogues come along and seduce the masses, and all you really have to do to impose massive change or infringe upon people's rights is convince 50.1% of the population to go along with you, and boom, it's democracy. Here you go. Our system of government was brilliantly designed to prevent that, to protect against that. And thank God it was, the tyranny of the majority. Look it up, Trish. But forgive me if I don't want to be ruled by your emotions. You're upset. You're angry. Millions of people are upset and angry. That is not rationale for violating the rights of everybody. Our government doesn't allow that, no matter how many people get on board with it. You're free to try and amend the Constitution and see how that works out for you. But as far as the wholesale stripping or chipping away even of our rights, there are millions more who will not sit idly by and allow that to happen. Liberals want to know why they keep losing elections when they think, well, we've got a 90-10 issue here. 90% of the people are with us. It's because our principles, our founding principles, matter to a lot of people. They might not matter to you, especially when the mob is on your side. You try and use that as justification. Our government is designed to protect against the mob, to protect against whims, to protect against governance by emotion. And thank God it is. Benjamin Franklin, when asked at the Constitutional Convention what kind of government we have now or you've given us. He said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. So far we have, and I hope we always will. But not if these people get their way. They don't like our form of government. They are the ones who want to fundamentally transform this country. They want it to be a mobocracy. Oh, they chant, this is what democracy looks like. But when they lose a referendum in a state, they sue. They don't accept the results. They fight dirty. They fight to win, and they don't give a damn about the Constitution. That's what I mean when they say they wrap themselves in the First Amendment and wipe themselves with the Second. You don't get to pick and choose somebody else's rights. You can keep quiet all you want. You don't have to exercise your right to free speech. You don't have to believe in God. You don't ever have to petition your government. You don't ever have to publish anything. You don't ever have to participate in an assembly of any sort. Just because you hold those ideas in contempt doesn't mean you can prevent other people from doing it. And just because you don't want to own a gun does not mean that you can prevent other people from doing it without just cause. And you being afraid or you being emotionally upset is not just cause. That's not how rights work. The one thing, well, there are many things that are absolutely brilliant about our founding fathers, but they recognized that times would change. They gave a mechanism by which to amend the Constitution. If you can muster the necessary votes in both chambers of Congress and of 3/4 of the states, knock yourself out. Amend the Constitution. Until then, you're just going to have to accept the fact that people have rights that you cannot infringe upon. And by the way, the Cenk Uygur, it's going, well, the guy from the Young Turks, misogynistic pig. Look up his past writings. He was kicked out of the Democratic Socialists of America, I think it was, because he of his misogynistic writings. He said, well, the well-regulated militia being necessary. They'll see the first part of the Second Amendment is talking about a well-regulated militia. That's why you should have a well-regulated militia, not anybody and everybody owning guns. Yeah, the last part, the operative part of the Second Amendment says, therefore, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It doesn't say the right of those militia members to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It was the people. The Founding Fathers didn't haphazardly toss together the Bill of Rights. They argued over it incessantly. They debated constantly. They chose every word carefully. There's not a word in there by accident, even if there is a misspelling or two. But the left will never admit that. And then they'll say, well, back then they were talking about muskets. We defeated the biggest army in the world with just some muskets and cannons. You don't want anybody to own a cannon, do you? But if you want to play that game, the First Amendment was written at a time when the modes of communication were in person, with paper and quill, and if you printed a newspaper. So should freedom of speech only apply to those manners of communication and totally, say, exclude television, radio, the internet? Actually, don't answer that, lefties listening, because you probably would like to do that. But you get the idea. You don't like the Constitution, change it. Good luck convincing enough people to go along with you, but at least you're free to do that. How about you leave the rest of us free while you do that? Man, I went way too long. I went way too long on that one. I didn't get everything I wanted to, but we're out of time. It's my rambling motor mouth. I just heard that monologue and it pissed me off. I'm just like, it's so ignorant. How do people get these high-paying jobs in the media with no understanding of our government? You realize that somebody can be educated beyond their intelligence, and it doesn't take much intelligence to get on television. It doesn't take much education to get on television. You got to look good. You got to be able to read a teleprompter. You got to be able to talk while somebody whispers in your ear your next question. And that's about it. Anyway, thank you for listening. Tomorrow on the program, the Friday interview edition, so it'll be a half interview with Liz Wheeler on her new book, Tipping Points, and then half new of whatever craziness happens in the next 24 hours. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Otherwise, have a great Thursday. It's almost Friday.
And if you're proud of funding President Trump, you need to understand that that will be public information.